The following shir has been presented by Rav Zev Lef, Rav of Moshav Matasyahu in Eretz Yisrael, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
In light of what we've explained concerning Amalek, we can then understand the background of Purim. Whenever we have doubts whether God is really guiding and leading the world, we are then vulnerable to the attack of Amalek. The first time it happened, in the desert, we questioned when we were thirsty and there was no water, if God is with us and is going to provide us with water. And the commentaries explain that even though the Jews saw open miracles, but they weren't sure, maybe God is only there for miraculous, spectacular things. But to provide drinks of water, that is nature, and God's not involved. When we have doubts whether God is involved in nature, we are vulnerable to Amalek, who doesn't believe that God is even involved in miracles. And therefore, we committed two sins, the Gemara says. One is, Polchul Etzelem Shel Nevuchadnezzar. They bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nehenu Misudas Achashverosh, they enjoyed the party of Achashverosh. These two sins are connected. The Jewish people were in exile, and they thought wrongly that God had abandoned them. And therefore, when they were faced with the test, should they bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar or not, they made the following calculation. God has abandoned us, so he's no longer involved with us. If we bow to this idol, we'll be bad in his eyes, but we'll be good in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. Since God abandoned us and he's not involved with us, then who runs the world? Nebuchadnezzar, the mighty, the powerful. So better to get good in his eyes and bow to his idol than to get into good in the eyes of God. So that was one sin. It came from a doubt or from a feeling that God was no longer guiding them, protecting them, and involved with the world. And that led to the second sin. They enjoyed Achashverosh's party. The sin was not that they went. Many commentaries say they had to go. It was Yoharik Valyavor, it was Pikuach Nefesh. Because if you say no to Achashverosh, what happens to you is what happened to Vashti. You get killed. So they had to go to the party. And in fact, the Medrash says that Mordechai was at the party, was a waiter there. The problem was Nehenu, they enjoyed the party. The party was celebrating the downfall of the Jewish people. How in the world could the Jewish people enjoy the party that was celebrating their downfall, that the 70 years of Golus Bavel had come to an end according to Achashverosh's miscalculations, and the Jews were not redeemed, and he therefore assumed they'd never be redeemed. So he took out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash and the raiments of the Kohen Gadol, and he celebrated the downfall of the Jewish people. How did they enjoy such a party? Now the answer is that if you're a self-hating Jew who doesn't feel that Jews have any importance and the God's not involved in the world, then you get your importance from rubbing shoulders with important people and mighty people. So being invited to Achashverosh's party was a tremendous benefit to them, was a tremendous kavod, was something that they enjoyed, even though it was celebrating their downfall, because rubbing shoulders with important, powerful people is what makes a person important. So those were the two sins. And that led them to the attack of Amalek in the guise of Haman. And Haman wanted to eradicate the entire Jewish people because they were nothing in his eyes. He didn't consider them having any importance. And he decided to destroy them by casting a lot. And the Torah and the Megillah tells us, he peeled poor hu hagoral. He cast a lot, a poor, which is a goral. Now many commentaries learn that this is a translation. Poor is a Persian word for lottery. And since we don't know Persian, the Megillah had to translate it and tell me it's a goral, the Hebrew word for lottery. There's only one problem. And that is, the Megillah translates it a second time in the ninth parak, the he pil pur hu agorol. Why wasn't it sufficient to translate it only once in the third parak? And there are others, the Radak amongst them, who holds that the word poor is a Hebrew word. Comes from the word porer, crumbs, little things that you throw as a lottery. So if it's a Hebrew word, why was it necessary to translate it? And if it was an obscure Hebrew word and Goral was the more known word, just use the word Goral. Therefore, I think it's not a translation. It is a slogan. He peeled poor, Haman threw a lot, and he said, Hu HaGoral, that is your destiny. Your destiny is not guided by any god. Your destiny is totally haphazard. It's totally the throw of a lot. It is totally accidental. And therefore, no one and nothing is going to save you from me, and I don't have to destroy you today or tomorrow. It can wait 11 months because nothing is going to change the situation. Everything is under my power because I'm a powerful person. And it's interesting, the word who is those letters that are missing from God's name and his throne, the Aleph, Vav, Hey, but backwards. And that's what Haman said. I want to take those letters out of the world and totally uproot them and make them backwards. And he changed the Aleph, Vav, Hey to who. And the miracle of Purim was V'nahafo Hu. The who changed back to be Aleph, Vav, Hey. And once the Jewish people were threatened with extinction, so they began to do tshuva, to repent, to reconsider, and perhaps that God is involved, and they started to daven to him and to fast. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam sent Mordechai and Esther to save them by atoning for their sins. Mordechai atoned for the sin that they bowed to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar by refusing to bow to Haman, because he made the opposite calculation. If I bow to Haman, I'm good in his powerful eyes, but not good in the eyes of Hashem. If I don't bow to him, I'm good in the eyes of Hashem, but not in his powerful eyes. Who's more significant? Hashem is more significant than Haman. That atoned for their sin of bowing to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And Esther atoned for the other sin, that they enjoyed the party of Ahasuerus. They enjoyed rubbing shoulders with important people, even when it represented the downfall of the Jewish people. Esther was the opposite. She was the queen of Persia. She did more than rub shoulders with Ahasuerus, and yet she considered it kasher avadati, avadati. She considered it not her importance and something that gave her honor, just the opposite. She considered that her undoing. And what she considered to make her important and to give her honor was the fact that she was a Jewess. And that is the miracle of Purim. Purim taught us that God is always there, even when it appears that he's not there, he's behind the scenes. And that is the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. The Megillah shows us that even though the events that happen could be interpreted as just coincidence, but it's too much of a coincidence, and it's obvious that it's God's hand directing history behind the scenes. And once you believe that God is there always, and he's guiding everything that happens, then the Jewish people are important because we have that special relationship with God, both through our prayer and through the Torah that he gave us. And therefore, if the Jewish people are important and I'm important, I want to preserve my being. And therefore, I eat and drink. There's a mitzvah to eat and drink on Purim to enhance your existence because your existence is important. And it's not only my existence that's important. I'm important because I'm a Jew. So share the importance with someone else. Give them something to eat. That's Mishloach Manos. And we're not important because we're smart, rich, or anything else. We're important because we're Jews. And therefore, give a present, not charity, but matonos levyonim, give a present, even to the evyon who has nothing, but he has the pride of being a Jew. Give him a present, presents you give to important people. Those are the mitzvahs of Purim that represent these two facets of what Purim is. A recognition that God never abandons us, he's always there for us, and a recognition if that's the case, then we're very important people. It's interesting that Purim, the first day of Purim, can fall only on 4 days of the week. It can fall on Sunday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Tuesday. It can never fall on Shabbos, or Monday, or Wednesday. It's interesting, what are the letters that represent those days of the week? Sunday is Aleph, Friday is Vav, Thursday is He. Again, the letters that are missing from God's throne and God's name, the Aleph, Vav, and He. Purim replenishes those letters to the world by vanquishing Amalek and by having that resolve and that belief that God is always there and the Jewish people are important. And the last day, Tuesday, is Gimel. If you put the Gimel in front of the Aleph, Vav, Hey, you get Gava. That's the pride of the Jewish people. Since I believe that God's throne is complete and His name is complete and He's always involved with us and never abandons us, then that makes us very important and that gives us Gava, kosher Gava, pride of being Jews. In addition, our Mishnah starts out that the Megillah can be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of Adar under different circumstances. It's interesting, those numbers also represent that sentence, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, God swore by His throne. The Yud Dalet is the 14th, Yad. Ka, Yud He, is the 15th. And Yud Aleph is Vav and He together, 6 and 5. Those are the letters missing from the Yud and the He. The letters Vav He that complete God's name is represented by the 11th. The 12th is one more than the 11th, which is the Aleph, the one from Kisei. So we have Yud Aleph is the Vav He of God's name. Yud Beis is one more, is the Aleph of Kisei. The Yod is Yud Dalet, is the 14th. The Keis Ka is the 15th. Where's the 13th? The Gemara says that the 13th, you don't need a Pasuk, because it's Yom Kehila Lakol. It's the day they all gather together to fight Amalek. We have the power to fight Amalek, because Yud Gimel is Echad, is unity. When we unify together as the Jewish people and recognize our strength and our importance, and we unify under God and recognize that He's always there for us, that unity gives us the power to wage war with Amalek and to be victorious.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.